For the past few years, my in-laws have rented a house in Lakewood over Sukkot and Pesach to be with the family because my wife and her two brothers live here on the East Coast. They're very busy, and instead of us flying out to L.A., they come over here. And my in-laws, who are certainly modern Orthodox, they end up renting a house in Lakewood because they have yeshivish cousins there. And certainly the people there do not use Airbnb, but we figure out a way to be able to find a house to rent. And I always find it interesting for myself whenever I go there, I feel like the shagets of the shul. I'm basically the only person in the entire shul, aside from my father-in-law, who is not wearing a black hat. And I feel like pretty much every other person there is probably more learned than me in Torah. And if there would be any shiloh that would come up, any issue, I feel like I'm probably the last person to ask. In fact, I'm probably the person who will ask the shilohs to the other balabatim there. And yet, the other side of my life, I'm in kosher and I'm a Rebbe, or I'm in Avat Shalom and I'm an assistant rabbi, and I'm the one who gets the shilohs, and I'm the one who's looked up to as a rabbinic figure. And I find always interesting that dichotomy. And I think about the famous Rashi in the beginning of this week's Parsha. So the Torah tells us in the first Pasuk, Ilu told us Noach, and says, Noach ish tzadik tamim hayav dorosav. Noach was a purely righteous person in his generation. So the in his generation, of course, like when else would he have been purely righteous? Of course, when he lived. So Rashi there says, Yesh merabusenu dor shemosol shevach. There are those who say this is praiseworthy. Kol shekein shilu haya bedor tzadikim haya tzadik yoser. Meaning if Noach, who was around terrible people, if he was able to stay righteous amongst them, imagine if he actually had contemporaries who were just as righteous of him. They would have elevated him even more so to a greater stature, and he would have been even more great had he been in a generation with other righteous people. But for those who say no, it's really like Noach was a tzaddik tamim, but only because he lived in that generation. But if he would have been living in the time of Avraham, and it would have been comparable from him to Avraham, he would have been nothing. Noach is Noach. Avraham, that's a really righteous person. Noach, yeah, he's okay. He's a good guy. Good guy, great, nice midos, but he's nothing compared to Avraham. So I heard from Rabbi Michael Taubes, who asked the following question. He says, how come it is, when the Torah tells us that he's a tzaddik tamim, why is it that someone has to come and say, you know, he's not really so good? Why does someone have to even give an interpretation and say that it's not, I don't think it's as good as it seems? Why does someone have to put a negative twist on something that only seems positive? Rabbi Taubes answered beautifully. He says that the opinion who gave the negative twist to that, that if he was in a different generation, he wouldn't have been good, it wasn't actually a negative twist. He was saying as follows, the following idea, that a person is obviously put in this world in a certain time period when Hashem wanted you to live. And a person should never think about, you know, what if I lived in another time period? What if I lived 100 years earlier, or if I was lived in the future, 100 years in the future. And the person is saying that we have no idea really what it would be like for him in another generation. And it doesn't even matter, because Noach lived in his time period for a reason, and he succeeded in his time period. He was able to be saved, be able to rebuild the people of the world after that. And he was just responding. The first person who said, you know, this is L'Shevach. Had he been in Avram's generation, he would have been even more righteous. He says, no, no. So it wasn't L'Gnai. It wasn't a negative saying, you know, he wouldn't have been so good. But he's saying, we can't even think about it. Don't even try to think about what he would be like in another generation, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him there. And I'm sure when it comes to us, I'm sure there are people here who would prefer, if you thought about it, if you were able to live in any time period you'd want. Maybe some people would choose a time period which is much simpler, where there are less global or national problems. I think about how, like, imagine before, like, constant news access and finding out about every single day you go online, you hear terrible things, terrible stories. And if you lived 100, 200 years ago, just not knowing about some of those stories, not having it right in front of your face at all times, it would have been a simpler time period. Maybe some of us would choose to live in a time period we could learn from certain pillars of a field, to learn Torah from the Rambam, to study philosophy with Socrates, to learn how to play piano from Mozart. And maybe we'd want to live in a period of our greatest talents or desires to learn from the people who lived then. But you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us here. And we were born into this era. And obviously we're here for a reason. But now even within our era, even within our time period, think about the following question. How many of us would prefer to go back in time 5 or 10 years? If you had the option, you could go back in time. You know, maybe for some of us that means more free time to hang out with friends. Maybe it would be less financial stress and pressure. Because maybe at that time our parents were still helping us out. Maybe we'd have taken a different career path if we would have been 5 or 10 years earlier and, you know, would have thought things through a little bit clearer. But or how many of us would want to live 5, 10 years in the future? You know, right now things are really tough. I wish I could just jump ahead 5 or 10 years. Maybe we'd get out of grad school and be able to start our job. Or maybe we wouldn't be at the struggling and difficult stage at the first year or two of our jobs and we'd already have that promotion 5 or 10 years from now. Maybe we'd be married. Maybe we'd have children. Maybe we'd be more financially independent. And all these things are obviously things that we think about sometimes. About, you know, life is tough. And I remember the good old days, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, where, man, I can't wait for 5 or 10 years from now. I can't wait to, like, be out of this. This is just tough. And I remember myself, personally. I remember how I used to always think like that. I remember being in middle school and thinking about how I'm excited for high school. And I was excited when I was in high school, I was like excited for going to Israel. And I was just thinking, you know, I can't wait to go to Israel. And when I was in Israel, I was like, you know, I have to get on with my life. I knew at that point I wanted to be a teacher. I was like, I'm excited to just get into college. I'm excited to go to Semicha. And when I was there, I remember thinking, you know, I want to teach already. And I saw myself living that. Just thinking ahead and not being appreciative and not living in the moment. And it was something I had to stop myself and catch myself many times to say, you know, appreciate the present. Stop trying to live in a different time. Stop trying to hope that you're 5 or 10 years in the future. Because the reality is, even when we are 5, 10 years in the future, there are things there that are not great. And there are things that we would rather change. And the things that we could look back on and wish things we could be in a simpler time period with issues that we didn't have at that time. Or we wish we could be more in the future. And when Moshe Rabbeinu encountered the burning bush, he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shal na'alecha me'al reglecha, take your shoes off. Ki ha'makom asher ata omed alav admas kodesh hu. Because the place where you're standing right now, it's a holy ground. And the Chavetz Chaim explains an important lesson. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that this place, Hamakom, right now, the present, the place where you are, this is holy. And of course, Moshe didn't realize the magnitude and the holiness of where he was. But the Chavetz Chaim says that that's a lesson for every Jew, for all eternity, to realize the place you're standing, you think it's not holy. You think it's a place where you can't accomplish as much as you want to, where you can't live the type of life that you want to live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling every Jew, HaMakom asher ata omed alav, that place where you currently are in life, Admas Kodesh Hu, it is a holy place. And even if you're no longer in your year in Israel, even if you're no longer in years of bachelorhood, or surrounded by religious figures, we are where Hashem wants us to be. And because of where we are, we have the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and come close to Him right where we are. And we don't have to try to think of being in a different situation, of wanting to change our life circumstances, of looking back or looking forward, but appreciating the here and now, and realizing that there's so much to accomplish even in the moment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us here for a reason, to be able to maximize and to accomplish certain things that we wouldn't be able to do, maybe if we were in a time period earlier or later. There's a story I heard from about Rav Fishel Schechter. Rav Fishel Schechter is a big Rav from Borough Park. And on the Chol HaMoed, he wanted to do a trip with his family, but he was very, very cost conscious, and he wanted to do a pretty cheap trip. but he wanted the course. Of course, obviously, the goal is for the kids to have fun. It's Chol HaMoed. So what could he do? So he tells everyone to come in the car, tells the family to get in the car, and the family gets in the car, and they're like, where are we going? Where are we going? And he says, you'll see, you'll see. And they start driving, and they see signs for JFK Airport. They're like, are we flying somewhere? He's like, you'll see, you'll see. And his plan, which is what he did with them, he said, let's ride the air train. Let's go around. Let's go and look at the airport and you'll see the planes taking off and you'll ride this air train. It'll be a blast. And it was. And his kids were little kids and they had a great time. And at one point while they were on this air train, so a pilot came out and he was holding, he had his little suitcase, right? Of course, he's every day or every few days he's flying around the world. And the pilot came on. The pilot sat down and he started speaking to Rav Schechter. And the pilot asked him, he said, where are you guys going? Where's your family going? And he said, actually, we're not going anywhere. He said, what do you mean you're not going anywhere? You're in an airport. Like, people come here to fly places. Where are you going? I'm happy to help you if you need help. I know the airport like the back of my hand. He said, I'm really not kidding. He said, we have a day off, and I wanted to take my kids. I figured, we'll ride the air train. We're actually not going anywhere. And the pilot was like shocked to hear this, of course. He's never heard of anyone who would go to the airport without traveling. And the pilot just sat there for a little bit, and he was thinking. And a few moments later, he turns to Rav Schechter, and he said to him, my life as a pilot, every morning I get up, and I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly how I'm going to get there. I know how exactly how long it's going to take me to get to my destination. He said, but my personal life, my real life, is a mess. My wife left me long ago, and my children won't even talk to me. So although I'm flying, although I'm going and traveling and going to certain destinations, I might know exactly where I'm going, but I really have no destination. And he says, I look at you, and here you are with your children. And you really don't have a destination. But seeing you with your kids and how happy they are, I realize that you're going to the greatest place in the world. And we oftentimes are guilty of thinking about all those destinations and the travel and where we want to be in the future. And you could be here in the moment. And it might not seem so amazing. You might not be going on the greatest trip, both literally and figuratively. But that's where the real meaning is. And that's where we have to focus on to be able to maximize our emotional happiness, to realize this is where we are. And I have to make the best of every situation I'm in. And the most important thing is to acknowledge the blessing of living in the present, appreciating the things in life that we take for granted, and realize that Hashem put us here for a reason, to be able to accomplish something in this moment that's right in front of us. Something that if we were 5 years earlier or 5 years from now, we would not be able to accomplish. We should take the unique opportunity that we have right here, right now. Even though it's true, we might want to change some things in our life. And not everything is always going to be perfect. There are always going to be struggles. There are always going to be challenges. But on top of that, to be able to endure those struggles and those challenges, and to make the best of the situation and realize that we're standing on Admas Kodesh. We're standing on holy ground. And there's something that Kodesh Baruch Hu put us here for right now, here in the moment, for us to be able to accomplish that we would not be able to accomplish at any other time.